quarter than our man Wild Bill. He was Cupid earlier this year. It's got to be distracting shooting free throws.
Podcast. I'm your host, Wild Bill. I'm in studio with my dude, Kellen.
What's up, dude?
And, you know, just first off, want to say thanks for everybody reaching out.
Yeah.
The emails, the Twitters, the tweets.
Facebook messages.
Messages.
Suggestions of who we should interview. That's been fun, too.
Yeah, the Instagrams.
We're everything. Reading all of them.
Yeah, well, Kellen reads. I'm still kind of illiterate, but...
True. And I'm like, message Bill. I'm like, hey, we really should look at this person. Like, this is a great fan request right here. So yeah, we try to keep it real.
Yeah. So, hey, thanks for hitting us up. It's been awesome, the feedback, and, you know, thanks for all the love from Aggie Nation. You know, we have the best fans as Aggies, and, you know, we're feeling the love. So thank you very much. We got a great guest today for you.
Hold on. You say that a lot, and it's just like we're never gonna have a bad guest.
Well, because they're all Aggies.
I know. So that's a great point. But I just love how you're still like.
Well, because everyone I'm excited.
I know.
About.
I love it. I love it. That's how
I'm not gonna out. Not if I'm not excited about it. I'm sure as heck not gonna have.
We're not gonna invite us.
Yeah. So we have a great one, and I'm excited.
I love it.
Is that I'm okay excited for too. You?
Yeah, I like that. I just all wanted right. to make that point.
Okay. Good point to have.
For sure.
But it is a great guest. He has his own Aggie podcast.
He does.
Aggies All the Way. We're talking about Scotty G.
Mediocre guest joining no, please. Us.
No. Thanks for being here, Scotty.
Oh, I'm excited. This is a lot of fun, man. You guys are killing it, too. Oh, like, I listen to it all the time. The burger one got me roped in, and then the Colette one was incredible, and Jalen Moore was awesome.
That one was... Fantastic.
How easy is it to interview Craig Smith, by the way?
Oh, my gosh.
Interview or let him talk?
Yeah, you just, like, the coaches shows, like, you know, I've got, like, a window of, like, 7 minutes for the coaches show.
Yeah.
So I always had, I have, like, 20 minutes with him. And then so I'm, like, I'm trying to trim up the best stuff to make it fit.
Right.
Like, I loved it.
Oh, we had so much fun.
One question, boom, the guy just goes.
It was hard because Kellen kind of plays the role of the producer on the show and kind of keeps everything.
Yeah.
Kind of going in the right direction. Yep. And I play the role of, I'm going to talk about, you know, squirrel. There it is. So, and you, as you know, Coach Smith is very, very similar to that.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, we were just boom, boom. And Kellen's like, all right, well good job. We'll go back over here.
I just let it go. I couldn't believe how fun it was. And he's difficult to interview in the sense of time.
Oh, yeah. But
as far as an open book, holy cow. And that was what was interesting is some of the feedback we got from fans. Like, man, you guys really didn't ask any, like, questions about the team, and we're like, well, he talked about the team. If you re-listen to it, we were going to ask those questions that he answered before we did. So
no, that's an interesting point, because like I'll have a list of things I want to get to, and then I'm like, oh, he mentioned that. I'm like, I really got nothing left for you.
He does your job.
Yeah, he does.
For you.
And he, midway through the season, he watched the movie Gladiator for the first time.
Oh, really?
Which it blew me away. That
he hasn't seen that.
That he hadn't seen it until it was right before the New Mexico game and Abel Porter hit the shot.
Strength and honor.
Exactly. And so, like, after Abel Porter hit the shot, I'm like, are you not entertained? You know, because he talked about it on the pregame.
Yeah.
And then, but then he wants to break down the movie. He's like, well, you know, Commodus this and this and this. And I'm like, yeah, I'm with you, coach. Yeah. I got you.
So awesome. I love it.
Dude, I'm loving it, man. Yeah, it's, how long have you been doing sports radio?
So I started in Logan working for, it was a country music station. It wasn't owned by Ken Franson's group at the time, right out of high school. Got lucky, called up. I always wanted to do radio, called up a bunch of radio stations.
Are you from
Logan? No, I'm from Southern Idaho.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's right. I knew that.
Yeah.
How far south?
Burley area.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but What high school did you go to?
Declo.
Declo, yeah. I was Preston guy, so we played
Declo. Oh, nice. Yeah, see, usually I say Burley because nobody knows Declo.
Yeah, yeah, for
sure. I dated a girl from Declo.
Really? Uh-huh. What name?
Oh, off the air.
Off the air? Because chances are I know her or we're related. So
yeah, there it is.
There it is.
Because there's only 300 people in Declo.
Yeah.
So came down, went to, worked at this radio station, just did country music. We did Bear River and Box Elder Games. So did a little bit of play-by-play there. And then did the mission thing for a couple of years, came back, worked there for a bit. And then I got married and I'm like, I'm making no money.
Yeah.
I can't support a family doing
this.
Wait,
you mean this is not a money-making venture?
Surprisingly, no.
Maybe we shouldn't do this.
So I quit. I was done. I started selling cell phones and was going to Utah State. And and I thought, you know, that was a fun part of my life, but it's over now and I'm done. And then the guys at KVNU and Q92 needed somebody. They reached out and said, hey, would you want to come back and do some part-time work? And I'm like, sure. And then at that point, I started doing pre, half, and post for Al. I produced Utah State games and then I got offered a job in Salt Lake, and that was in 04.
Okay.
Okay.
03, 04. And then I've been just kind of hanging out. It's the only thing I knew how to do. I got a PR degree.
I was going to ask what your degree
was. I've never used it. You know, it's just a kind of a useless piece of paper outside of the.
When were you at Utah State? What year?
I started in 95, did the mission thing, came back, graduated in 01.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Perfect.
So.
So that's when I graduated high school, was 01.
Jeez, I feel old.
I was going to say, I'm not even going to say when I graduated then.
He's a young buck.
No, hardly. Go ahead.
But yeah, just kind of stuck in and, you know, worked at 1280 and then the Jazz bought KFAN 1320. And so I went over there and helped. They hired me. And then that was in 07. And then the Jazz gave 1320 up, bought 1280. And so just been kind of floating around ever since.
That's a world that seems so foreign to me in the sense of how people own, like when you're growing up listening to the radio, you don't realize people like that's a business and that like they're owned by people that then can sell that business and change ownerships. And it wasn't until I was, you know, in college that I was like, wait, what's going on with all the, I think it was like 94.5 and 102.7 down here and something. And that was when I was like, oh, this is. Maybe that in age. As you get older, you realize everything's a business.
Yes. And everything's for sale. And for the right price, you can be done like that. So, yeah, it was, you know, I've been really lucky. A lot of dudes in radio have to move their family all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been really fortunate.
Where's the wife from?
Wife is a Cottonwood High grad.
Oh, okay.
But we did meet at Utah State.
Cool.
Poly,
so she's an Aggie.
Yeah, yeah. Poli Sci 105 right there. You know when you walk into Old Main, you got those two big classrooms on the right and the left? Yeah, it was the one as you walk in, the one on the left, 101.
I know the one.
Yeah, yeah. I had plunge classes in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jeannie Johnson was teaching it, political science. Remember it well.
Wow.
She was on the first row. My buddy made me sit on the second row and started yammering with some girl. And fortunately, she was kind enough to go on a date, and the rest is history.
That's awesome.
Wow. Good for you.
True Aggies?
Are you the ultimate Aggie?
I was going to say, I think we have more questions, follow-up questions.
The ultimate Aggie is when you get on the bull, right?
Yeah.
I've not done that.
I've done ultimate Aggie in the snow, in the rain, in the sun, in the moon.
Which was worse?
Sun.
Absolutely. I was going to say sun and
burn. Oh, yeah, because that sucker's hot.
Burned hot. The inside of my legs.
Right, your legs.
I had a towel. I always did it with a towel.
There was an L in front of that, legs, just so we're clear.
So on the ultimate, is there like a, because, you know, you got the A-Day and homecoming. Is there like a special time of the year?
Yeah, when the cops aren't around.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
If there's a big house party and they're all busting the miners drinking, that's when you do it because they're not going to be there to bust you being naked.
Have you heard of Ultra Aggie?
Ultra?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
Tell you something that I did once, but let's hear what an
Ultra Aggie. No, I can't tell you what it is, but I'll tell you. I just know if you've ever heard it.
No, I haven't.
We'll share that off the air. That's one that Kevin Wimpy would like to know.
So one time, I'll tell you, on a bet once, I streaked the quad down to the bowl, rode the bowl down to the football field, and did touchdown club.
Really?
Naked the whole time.
Full nude.
Yeah, I wore slippers, flip flops.
Yeah, you got to protect the feet.
Right, right.
Yeah, I'm not
okay. You got to be able to run.
Yeah, we're not dumb here. Come on.
But, you know, that was crazy.
That sounds like Ultra Aggie. I mean, that's like a distance marathon there.
Yeah. You know, make it up. The wild mile. We could call it the wild mile.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm going to text you what an Ultra Aggie is.
Okay.
And you tell me if you've heard of this.
Oh no.
I'm so excited to know what an ultra Aggie is.
I can't believe I'm texting you.
Not an ultra Aggie. Hold on. But I will. That is absolutely on my bucket list.
Oh my goodness. I
I have not either. I've stood on the A naked.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Well, there you go.
I've been on the A-naked. Halfway there then.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, no, I this should come as no surprise to anybody. I like to be naked, right?
Oh, yeah, right, right.
When did when was the first time that you you did the thing at the game?
Well, so 2009 season, I think. 2008, 2009. Yeah, 2008, 2009. I was at a game. I didn't go to basketball very much, but my buddy Ty Wesley,
yeah, wanted, yeah.
He's like, just come. So I went, and I just took my shirt off a few times, and I wrote some stuff on my belly a few times, and then the next
ad
year,
space.
Yep, ad space, and then the next year. 9-10, I BYU was in town.
Yeah.
And that's when I dressed up for the first one.
And then they just took off from there.
Yeah. And everybody's like, well, what are you going to do next? I'm like, oh, yeah, nothing. Or I'm like, oh, you'll see. And then it's because I had no idea. I was like, oh, we'll just make it work.
I love it.
And you, so did ever get word back to you that, that we tried to get you down for a Jazz playoff game?
No.
So it never got – okay, so I got a great – I was going to tell you this story.
No,
I'll tell you to you now. So Clay Jensen, who is senior vice president of ticket sales, he and I are good friends. He's an Aggie.
Oh,
and,
really?
So we were the Jazz were playing the Lakers in the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
And we thought it would be great to get you down for a Jazz playoff game. Imagine Kobe Bryant shooting and there's Wild Bill doing his thing.
Oh, absolutely.
And so – he's like, let's do it. And Clay carried some pretty good weight with the Jazz organization. So I texted Doug Hoffman, and Doug's like, we're on it. We're going to get – we'll talk to Bill. Well, so Clay – so I said, I'll talk to – I'll get Bill arranged.
Yeah.
You send it up the food chain and see if we're okay with that. Well, apparently it got up the food chain a little bit, and they're like,
nope.
No, not an NBA game. So I had to call Doug back. I'm like, sorry.
Yeah, no.
But it was close. It was close. Well, we wanted to make it happen.
I know Oklahoma has a guy that – the Thunder has a guy that does that.
I was like, what the problem? Yeah, what's the problem?
Yeah.
How great would that have been, though?
That would have been – I would have done it. I mean, I was –
that would have made ESPN.
Oh, easy. Heartbeat, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially at that time when I was on ESPN. Yes, I knew all the people on ESPN.
Yeah, that A right there, Scott Van Pelt sign.
Yeah, that's all. Dick Vitale's on there. Yep. Molly Karam.
Wow.
Yeah, that's when I was at ESPN U.
Oh, that's right.
So that Aggie A, I had somebody with me that had brought those, and so I had that sign so I could have it.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then the Ag Rag right next to it, that is from the 96 season.
Just so the listeners know, we are going to start filming some of these.
Yeah, and
you'll see some of this stuff.
Because you got a great spread down here.
So that's that's senior night from back in the day when I was in high school or middle school.
Holy smokes. I don't remember.
Yeah,
that's a cool awesome. One. I like the ag rag.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
They need to bring the ag rag.
Yeah, they do, for sure.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then, you know, we have all kinds of... It's a pretty cool little setup we have
here. Yeah, you do, for sure.
My jerseys on the wall.
Yeah, this pile of clothes, those are some of the baseball stuff I brought that we're trying to decide if it's worth hanging. We got a couple things. I think we're good. So the rest is Bill.
He's out of love with it, man.
And then this stuff is the school gave me when I was in the hospital. This ball and those. That ball was my last game as actual Wild Bill.
Yeah. Did it feel weird coming back this year when you did it?
Felt really weird.
It's just like, it's a different generation, man.
It's because, like, you know, until recently, I still felt college aged.
Yeah.
And then you realize, wait, I'm old now.
I think a lot of us do. Like, I think you want to channel your inner, like, 22, 23.
Yeah, like, I felt like I was in my early 20s, mid-20s, whatever, this whole time until just recently. And so when I was down there, I didn't have any misunderstanding that I was an old man next to very young kids.
Yeah.
taking his shirt off.
You know, some of them were, you know, in high school last year, and it was just like, eh.
Did you call that on the radio at all?
I did.
Okay, I didn't listen to the rebroadcast.
Yeah, no, I was fired up because they gave us a heads up that you were back.
Oh, really?
And so as soon as you stood up, I mean, we were on it.
Did you hear the episodes where we've been talking about how we got him to do that?
No, I didn't. I didn't catch that.
Took some effort.
Well, I wasn't going to do it.
Yeah, he was. His wife was the one that was like,
no, it was you guys.
She was like, you should do it. Like, this is.
Well, here's the thing. We were all hanging out, and everybody's like, just go. And my buddies like, go down and do it. I'm like, no way. Like, I'm over that.
Yeah.
Plus, nobody wants to see my fat body anymore.
Well, no, here's the thing. Like you're nowhere near your playing weight.
Like, no, it's true.
Like, you're svelte now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a lot more slim, but still big. So everybody's like, well, I'll throw 50. And I was like, what? And she looked at me. She's like, if they're willing to pay, you might as well go. And I was like, and here's the thing. I probably would have went a lot earlier, but I was with my wife.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, once even just her go ahead was like, okay, I'm in.
Well, yeah. And what was funny is she was the one handing out her Venmo username to like me and a few of the others standing around. So when she's like, just Venmo there, once we see it, like, he's going down. And that's when he was like, we're doing this, I guess. And
I like how it went through her, it didn't go to you.
Well,
it started with him. He was resistant.
I don't have all that stuff. She's the one. She takes. I don't know how to do technology.
Oh, okay.
That's my wife.
There you go. Nice.
So that's, you know, and I just told him, show me the money. And they're like, well, we don't have any cash. And then she's like, well, there's Venmo. And I was like, oh, yeah. If you guys are serious. Oh,
this is awesome.
We had so much fun with it, standing up at the top of section. Was that F?
Section, yeah.
Right somewhere around F. there.
That was so fun. Is that going to be an annual thing, or no. Do you think it was a one-time thing?
It was a one-time thing.
Yeah. It just felt too out of place.
We'll see.
Yeah, gosh. Well, Kevin Wimpy, we did an episode with him. And
same story. We'll see.
Yeah, they both think I should, and I just told them no, and they both think they can get me to do it. But
it's not us that's going to dictate it. I think two things are going to happen. The team's going to be on a winning streak and need you.
No, yeah. They don't need me.
Dude, you don't understand.
I'm not needed.
And the fans are going to crave it.
Then now they got a taste of it. There's somebody else out there, I guarantee. I'm the thing of the past. I'm the
then
past.
Then do a ceremony.
There's a future.
I do respect the fact that you're like, you know, you're not living through the past.
True.
Where you're like, you know what? Yeah. I had my time. It was good.
And I think that's what people like about Bill, too.
And I don't need to crave that attention.
Right.
But it's damn fun when you do that. I'm not going to lie.
Especially when the guy misses one of them.
I know, right? Hey,
you know, I was about to cry if he didn't miss one.
Like, you got to give me one.
Yeah. He might have just done that out of pity for me.
Right. Yeah, for sure. They seem like
here you go, fatty.
Merciful group, didn't they?
Oh, my goodness.
Punching the fire extinguisher, man?
Yeah, that was because I'm sitting.
Were you up there?
No, I wasn't up in the tunnel, and that's why a lot of people. And I was really glad that the fans got, you know, because everybody rushed to judgment, thinking that something happened on the court.
Yep,
I watched it all in front of me, and I saw the game ops did such a great job of moving that line out.
Yeah, I saw that.
And well,
me and Sean Harris actually blocked so people couldn't go back where the teams were. We wanted to rush the court, but we didn't want to be. I mean, we'll let the new kids be
let them do their thing.
But we were down the court and just blocking them from going in. So I knew they hadn't gone in.
And I watched, there was a little bit of a confrontation between the coaches.
Yeah.
I saw that.
And that happened right in front of me. In fact, I've got a mic. Yeah. I've got a mic that I use as a crowd mic that I kind of wedge in between the table.
Yeah.
And so that I can get all the sound on the court. And those coaches started barking at each other. And I had like three F-bombs that came through the airways. I'm like trying to crank it down as fast as I can. So, but that took care of itself pretty quick. And then I saw all the Nevada players and coaches walk up the tunnel. I didn't see anything whatsoever. So when all that stuff started to hit, like, oh, the crowd got in the way. I'm like, no. I saw it. Now, well, what happened when the tunnel? I don't know what happened after that. I mean, we've seen the video, but I always vouched for the fact that nothing happened on the court.
And I think it was just like, I mean, it was a hard game.
Yeah.
Such an emotional game.
To be put it all out there as a player, which, you know, I wouldn't know, that level has got to be draining. And, like, you know, he's a competitor, so he's probably just, like, really just reached his wit's end, and that was his outlet, you know. And I'm glad that it was, you know, because it was at the same time as that Jazz thing with
–
you know, we were supposedly racist down there.
Yeah.
It's like, well, now we're going to be framed as racist.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. And absolutely not, you know.
And you hate because you know the guys that do such a good job on game ops and stuff like that, and you hated them to catch any flack. Because you know, like I see all the work, and I know you worked with them back in the day, like all the work they do to help those kinds of situations. And it bothered me to no end that those guys were catching flack.
Well, and I did event planning at Utah State for 4 years, and the police officers are some of the greatest people I've ever met. And they were involved in that, and they got some flack for not react. And I'm like, what? None of this looks as, I mean, once you watch the tape, I felt like it was pretty telling, but it was, I didn't like any of that.
Once everything came out, we realized he just lost his shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nobody, it wasn't anything to do with us besides we beat him.
I love you say that on the podcast.
Oh, we'll drop a few little.
Again, a little loose.
Yeah.
Well, I know Kevin Wimpy's on here, so he definitely got crazy.
Yeah, you have a history with Kevin.
Oh, I love Kevin.
How was recording with Kevin?
Oh, Kevin was the best, man. Like, you know, and we had some games that weren't necessary, because that first year we did it was when they went, you know, it was after the 3-9 season.
Oh, yeah.
And, but they got better, but they weren't quite there yet. They got blown out against Boise State, the Colorado State game. I mean, there were some games where it was like, oof.
Yeah.
And I could tell Kevin was getting mad. Like, I could feel him just getting mad, especially if there was some offensive lineman missed a block or something like that. Yeah. And I could feel his blood boiling. I'm like, bro, like during a break, I'm like, we gotta be good here.
Yeah.
Like we can't get too overly emotionally. So I could just, I wanna go scorched earth on them all. I'm like, I know, I get it. It's all good though.
Oh, man.
But he was so much fun. We had a ton of fun on the
road. He's one of the best, just kind hearted dudes.
Oh yeah.
He's a good dude.
And he'd give you anything you wanted.
Oh,
like,
and the thing I always appreciate, and this I've noticed this, like I do the show with Hans Olsen and on the radio now and with Kevin Wimpy. Like we use a lot of former athletes. And what really always surprises me about working with athletes is how they want to get coached. Like they desperately want feedback. Like I would prefer not, because I'm sensitive and I'm, you know, like, you know, you tell me I did something bad, I'm like, oh man, you're right. And I feel bad. Like these guys, they want to be coached. Yeah. And if you're not coaching them up, then they almost get upset with you because they want to get better and they want to improve so much and they want feedback over and over. I prefer, you know, just don't tell me anything. I'll just do my job and we'll be fine. But it's always fun working with guys like that. They're the best.
Yeah. I remember I was pretty pumped when he was doing color commentary because I knew him at school and stuff like that. So I was excited. Plus he has that little bit of insight when it comes to, you know, the players, and he knew that staff really well and the players he played with a few still. So that was a fun year for sure. Listening on the radio.
And so you would get little insight here and there. And we had some inside jokes that we would work in as well, because that's the one thing that you have an institution like Al Lewis, who is just, like, Al will always be the voice of the Aggies. Like, I have no aspirations of ever being as synonymous with the school as Al is. I mean, he's just the best.
Yeah.
And so when we took over, it was like, let's not try to be that.
Yeah.
Because you can't replace that. He's just too good and too synonymous. And that voice is just, that is just pure Aggie athletics. So let's do something different. Let's have some fun. Maybe a little bit more laid back, a little bit more. You know, and hopefully and we're always trying to get better. This is only year three, so hopefully we deliver a broadcast that's still fun and insightful and a little bit interactive. We try to get to go to Twitter as much as we can. We're going to try to do Facebook Live stuff in the middle of quarters and things like that and halftime. Yeah. So we're always just trying to, you know, look, you know, the traditional broadcast may not be our best cup of tea, but I think there's a lot of other things we can do that
it'd be hopefully nice will be. If, be nice if it was been able to get caught up in Logan, though.
Yeah.
I know. But I guess you have probably more listens down here even.
Well, now don't they have a contract with the school's little tower?
Yeah, yeah. So that's the big thing. And that's the one thing I've gotten the most feedback on is, for the most part, people have been pretty, pretty positive about the broadcast itself. But the thing that I know a lot of people want is want a better reception up there. And that's something that we're working on. There's a signal that comes down in from Preston, and then the student station, as you talked about.
Yeah, 92.3, I think it is. Yeah.
And things like that. And so I think they're, and then, you know, we kind of anticipate that most people these days are starting to go to their phones and we have the TuneIn app. And
I do. And things I use that a lot in the away games because I can't always, I'm not even here. I travel for work quite a bit and I love having the app.
You know, and we use the Zone app too that that people can use it on. So hopefully we're providing a lot of different alternatives for people to listen. But you're right. You know, the old flamethrower KVNU signal is obviously missed by a lot of people up there.
Yeah. Well, so when you stepped in there and you kind of just took it off a little, you know, did your own thing rather than trying to step in and be Al Lewis, which, I mean, to be honest, when I knew Al wasn't going to do it anymore, my guard went way up.
Because
I'm a sentimental guy, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm loyal to who I love. And, you know, growing up and being an Aggie, you love Al Lewis.
Yeah.
Yep. That's who you want to hear your games from, you know.
And it was interesting because I got, now I don't know a lot of what went on the KVNU side, and I'm on the outside looking in. You know, Learfield approached us about becoming the flagship station, and the feeling all along was that KVNU was going to be an affiliate and that Al would still do the games.
Uh-huh.
And so that was our impression all along, that KVNU would end up carrying the games.
Oh, interesting.
And that Al would still be the play-by-play guy. And then... I don't know. That's a higher up the food chain than me, but somehow somewhere negotiations broke down there. KVNU decided not to. And Al, because of his contractual obligations with KVNU, was unable to do the games. And they approached me and said, would you be interested in doing it? And I'm like, you know, you want to replace the guy that replaced the guy.
Yep.
You know?
Right.
You don't want to replace the guy.
You want to be Coach Smith.
Exactly. Exactly. You don't want to be Brent Guy, you know.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess McDenny, he was in there too. But you get the point.
Yeah.
So I mean, obviously I was excited and it's a dream opportunity. But you know, replacing the legend is not something that is something that I was really excited about as far as fans like you and fans everywhere that just grew up with Al Lewis. So I talked a lot to David Locke. You know, David had to replace Hot Rod Hundley. And he said the same thing. Just like, you just have to do you. You can't try to replicate what was done. You bring a fresh, original broadcast, do it well, and play to your strengths, and hopefully people come around.
I feel like you just explained why nobody has redone Wild Bill as well as Wild Bill.
Yeah.
I know Matt tried, but I think that kind of explains it right there.
Yeah.
And why Bill doesn't want to go back and do it, right?
I can't beat myself.
Yeah.
But the younger version of me was way better.
Way drunker. A little more creative with the costumes as well, right?
Yeah.
Did you do the costumes or did somebody do those for you?
No, I made
them. You made
them? Made them or bought them, right?
Yeah. Well, so actually ARS sponsored my costumes.
Oh, really?
Judd Eads, yeah.
Nice.
And he's like, how much do you want per game? And I'm like, I don't know, $2 or $3.
I like how people are getting in arena,
right?
You know, like circumventing the system.
Yeah, I know.
He's like, will you wear ARS on your belly? And
well, that's the thing is, like, I had nothing to do with the school, right? Like, I'd get boosters would give me money and stuff. So I was not NCAA. I could take money.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And I loved it. But Judd was like, no, well, you know. So he actually gave me a lot of money, and I was like, well, really. Most of the stuff is things I find laying around the house, and I cut into something crazy. And so he was really cool. So he actually had an account at one of the shops, a rental place up in Logan, and so I could go in, and that's where the teapot and Barney and stuff came from.
Was it like Northwood Rentals or whatever?
They had costumes. I don't remember what it was. Oh. In fact, I never did say their name because they made me pay for them, so I wasn't going to get
like you're not getting anything.
Yeah, I wasn't going to give them free.
That's fair.
Free advertisement.
That's awesome.
But I, you know, now I don't care. I think it was
probably. So
I don't remember which one.
So was it Spokane where they tried to fly you up to, and then the NCAA shut it down, or what happened there?
No, actually, I flew.
I know you got up there, but they didn't let you do your thing, right?
So the reason I didn't fly with the team in there is because I was already at ESPN.
Okay.
And they couldn't switch. ESPN wouldn't switch my ticket back to go to Spokane instead of Salt Lake because it was too expensive at that late a notice, right?
Okay.
And so So I flew back to Salt Lake, and I'm you know, did a Twitter something. I said, hey, sorry, I won't be able to make it. Fan that, you know, that my parents knew really well, and now I know, you know, I knew decently. He called up and said, hey, you're trying to go to the game? I said, well, yeah, but I'm flying into Salt Lake, and I won't be able to, you know, I'm not going to pay for a ticket to get up there. But the school told me I could fly back with them.
Oh, okay. So you just needed a one-way.
I needed to get up there. So he came and picked me up and drove me up to Spokane.
So you drove from Salt Lake to Spokane.
Yeah, I had just flown in that night there into Salt Lake from North Carolina, got on the front runner, took it up to Ogden, caught a ride up to Tremont, and they grabbed me and we went straight up. Drove through the night, got there 2 hours before the game. And or before the team and everybody left for the game, met up with the Spirit Squad, went into the game, got crazy, and then I slept for probably 4 days.
I bet.
I was so tired.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. It was a crazy time to just. I mean, I was. Oh, and then right when I got back from Spokane, the next day I actually went down to Salt Lake again. I had an interview with Godfrey Entertainment to be on the TV show Thrillbillies, and to see. And so I came down and I met, you know, Travis Pastrana and a bunch of guys there and talked about whether I wanted to do the show, and I did it for a season. So it was good fun.
Dude, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was just like, boom, 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 boom. And while all the time I was dying, literally dying. Yeah. And,
so was that when the health scare really started to kick in?
Yeah. I mean, at that point, like my the heart function was just like under 10%, and they couldn't believe that I was alive, let alone walking, you know. But that was it was a crazy time.
I think in our first episode we talk about that and address a little bit about that. I think if you're that drunk, you don't know your heart's not working. But
no, so they actually the doctor said, he's like, you know, I don't drink anymore, but at the time he's right. like. You know, the alcohol actually thinned your blood and kept you alive.
So in a weird way, kidding. The drinking helped.
And I looked at my mom and I said, ha, told you. And he looked at me and said, for every one time you can say that, she's got a million back at you, so don't say that.
Yeah.
Like, okay, good point.
That's so funny.
You know, so yeah, I mean, coincidentally, my stupid decision helped save my life. But
that's crazy.
Yeah, so it was good, you know. It was a really fun time, but also pretty scary time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it was, you know, it was college.
For a lot of people, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was, like I always tell people, I was really good at college, but I wasn't so good at school.
Well, I mean, that was the 6 best years of my life. So.
Yeah. I'm not going to say that I'm still finishing my degree online currently, but thank you, USU Distance Education.
But, you know, that's the beauty of Utah State, though, that, like, you just don't get anywhere else.
No.
Like, yeah. You know, obviously the BYU experience, and you can, I'm sure anybody can find whatever they want at BYU, but
yeah.
It just doesn't have that same kind of experience. Utah's a commuter school, Weber State, you know. Utah State has that unique feel. And I remember, you know, my dad worked for the University of Idaho growing up.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, he was an extension agent.
Okay.
But he was an Aggie. My mom was an Aggie. I had two older brothers who went to Utah State. I had a sister that went to BYU, but we don't talk about her very much. And so I just always felt like I was going to be Utah State. But I went down there, and I went to a bunch of different schools just to check them out, but never had any kind of feel. Like, you walk into that campus. I went my senior year of high school. Larry Stacey's still coaching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they played BYU. And you had those, you know, the Reed brothers at the time that were playing.
Oh, yeah.
And Utah State just ran them off. And it was the first time where Utah State just, I remember Utah State just dominating BYU in something. And I was like,
yes.
And the feel and the spectrum, which it wasn't even close to what it would eventually become.
Yeah.
Was just incredible. I'm like, this is where I want to be.
Yeah.
This is where I need to be. And that's it awesome. There's something about that school that just sucks you in.
Yeah. Well, and it's such a unique environment because we're in a small valley up on our own.
Yeah.
You know, BYU, I mean, my wife went there and, you know, hearing all her stories.
Oh, you married a cougar?
Yeah.
No kidding. Really?
Yeah.
Wild Bill married a cougar.
Yeah. I know.
That's funny.
Yep. She went to BYU. Love her to death. You know, not everybody makes great decisions for college.
Hey, no.
We got to forgive her for some of her.
I actually, It's pretty funny. I always tell her, I'm so glad you're an Aggie. And she's like, and last.
So is she a true Aggie now?
Not yet. We need to go up and do that. Yeah. But we were, one night I was praying and we just had gone to a Utah State thing. And I said, God, thank you so much for making us both Aggies. And she, I got a punch.
Well, didn't she wear a Utah State shirt too? To the Nevada game? Didn't you get her to wear some Aggie?
Yeah, I think she did.
She participates a little bit.
Yeah, she does. But
she just understands what she got into.
Yeah.
She knew what I was. But she, so they had a lot of fun. Like, after you get to know her friends, like, it's like, all right, you guys are cool, but the rest of your school sucks.
Yeah.
but they still are still, I mean, their valley's right next to Salt Lake. It's like so interchangeable. It's not hard to get places. Logan, you're in Logan.
Yeah.
Like, that's where you're at. You're up there. I mean, you can go to little towns around Logan, you know. And
come up to Preston.
Yeah.
What's up?
And those were go always fun.
Big
fire or something. But
yeah,
you didn't leave Logan. And if you did, you didn't buy in. And generally, we're only there a year. But if you bought into the culture and you liked it, because it was so unique. We have something that's like hardly anywhere else could even possibly wish to have.
Yeah.
And it just makes a really great environment. And everybody looking at the athletes, the kids treat them like the professionals. And everybody looks to the athletes as like leaders in the community. And it's an amazing, place to be.
Well, and how many times do you see a guy get recruited, let's say Southern California kid, comes, plays at Utah State, and then never leaves?
Yeah.
Like, and I think, I don't know, I don't know if I speak for all of us here. If I could make up there what I make down there, I'd move back to Logan in a second.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I plan on retiring there. I plan on taking my family up there, you know, if I could. Like, I would love nothing more than to live in
Cache Valley. I would be in Logan. Me and my wife have talked about, we would move back up there in a heartbeat if I could. She can find a job anywhere. She's a teacher.
Yeah.
If I find a job up there, I'd be there
it's done.
Gone.
Yep.
We're packing up and moving.
Well, there's a lot of Logan listeners, Bill. Somebody might have a job for you.
Yeah. Hey, I'm coming right back.
Check him out on LinkedIn. I'm trying to help him set up a profile right now.
Let's get you on LinkedIn.
Yeah, I'm not great at technology, like I said.
I actually added my experience as a, what did I put? I think a producer at Aggie Legends Media, which is the company we kind of created. And I forgot to uncheck the box to notify my network. So, like, my boss comes up to me and a few other people's like, hey, is that your notice? Did you quit? I had, like, 10 people come up to me. No, this is just the thing I'm doing on the side. I'm definitely not quitting. So I'm not great at it either apparently.
So do you do the Twitter thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't get off Twitter. I love that.
I love Twitter.
Twitter is like a legitimate source of news.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
And just the hate and the vitriol on there, too.
It's so fun.
Like, it's just, it's incredible. Like, I don't know how an athlete does it now.
Oh yeah.
Like, after a game and things don't go well or something like that, I just can't imagine firing that thing up and seeing, because some people, man, there's some keyboard warriors out there.
For sure.
And that's what bugs me so much. I try to stay off boards and things like that because, you know, as good-hearted as even our fans are, like, somebody has a bad game.
Yeah.
They're going to let them know it.
I know. Have it. I know.
And it's
are you verified on Twitter?
I'm not, and I don't know how to do it.
Yeah, because I was just – this is one of the ways I know that they handle it is that once you're verified, you can set your profile to only view other verified Twitters, and that's how they can block out a lot of the negativity. I didn't know that. I saw a comedian talking about it and they were like, yeah, I got verified. And that means I can view only other verified if I wanted to. That means that when you send Donovan Mitchell a message on Twitter, he's not getting it because he's probably got his verified up. Now that guy, he does it right.
That dude knows how to do it right.
He does. And like, he'll respond to people that I don't know. Enjoy it while that lasts, by the way, because that guy is special.
It would be fun to have him on the podcast, even though he's not an Aggie.
He came to an Aggie game.
He came to an Aggie game, man.
Jersey.
Does that work?
That took a little bit of work, by the way. That was I was kind of in the middle of that one.
Some of the details of that?
Well, it was I think I'm okay. Like, I'm really good.
You're fine.
We can always edit later.
I'm really good in putting people together. Now, what happens when they talk?
Yeah.
You know, but I've been around the Jazz. You're not
going to take responsible for that.
I've been 12 years working for the Jazz, so you know a few people, and you can, like, absolutely. You know, so Zach Nyborg
yeah.
calls up, and he's like, hey, is there any way we can get him up here? And I think, I'm like, well, I can't do anything, but I can get you in contact with people that can hopefully put the wheels in motion there. And they were about ready. Jazz were about ready to start training camp, and I think they were on board and then realized that, oh, that's a 3-hour round trip thing there. And so I didn't think it was going to happen. And then next thing you know, he's up there doing his thing. And
well, I remember, when USU football put on Instagram that they had pressed his name onto the back of a jersey, that blew up. That went crazy on Twitter and Instagram.
Well, and then, he goes to the Utah game, which was great, but Utah doesn't have a jersey for Royce O'Neal, who's also there. And so, the fact they took care of everybody who went up there.
Yeah.
And a little known thing, George Niang, the Jazz do this thing where they'll take one of the players kind of on the lower end of the bench a little bit, and they go to all the junior Jazz cities, the little tour they do. Well, I get a text from one of the guys that's escorting George Niang last summer, and he said, hey, George is up here in Logan, wants to get some shots up. Is there anybody you can talk to? Well, I didn't know the new coaching staff at all.
Yeah. Oh, right.
And so I I'm kind of going through the back channels to find out. Tramell Barnes is the one we finally got a hold of, and Tramell's like, yeah, bring him up. Well, Coach Smith ends up talking to George Niang, and they know a bunch of people. And
trying to recruit him.
Exactly. And so it ends up being a great experience for George. And then so George gets into Donovan's ear.
Oh.
Hey, these are good dudes up there. And George Niang became kind of a pseudo Aggie because he loves it so much up there and loves Coach Smith. And
that's awesome.
That helped grease the wheels on that too.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's
interesting.
I love having you here. I get to hear the backstory of this.
Yeah, it's fun.
We might be here for a while. This is gonna be fun.
It's because you just don't realize. I mean, it's like a duck on the water, right? You see, you see the cool side of what happened, but below, it's just those legs just moving, taking you all over.
That's the one thing that I've been blessed with, the ability to kind of help facilitate things, behind the scenes, and being able to put people in touch with each other. And I think that's been it's been good for the university. I think anytime you have an opportunity to showcase something of a guy up there looking like he's having a good time, that's just good smart PR by the university.
Yeah, and what blew me away, and we can stop talking about the Utah Jazz here in a second, but I love them right now. But the Donovan started throwing the football around on the field during halftime, and the fans were like eating it up. Like, we're cheering every time and he was throwing bombs. That guy's a baseball player, right?
Yeah.
That was so fun. I sat there on the season ticket holder side watching, and I was just like, the students were just eating that up, and it was just great PR, like you
and
said.
And the fact Quinn Ficklin's giving it, snapping.
Yeah, that's right. I saw that too.
It was just
really cool.
Awesome. Great moment.
And we were wide out, so the fans looked legit. The only thing I was bummed about is they were up at the north end zone center. Yeah. And as they were coming down is when they did the chalk in the air, and I was like, oh, they just missed the I Believe chant. I think they caught the tail end of it, but I was like, dang it.
Dude, it's cool. That setting and I think what you've built, and I think it has put in motion the culture of how and it felt like it was slipping there a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't know, did you get your sense, is it back, or do they still have some work to do?
Oh, I think when I was there, we had work to do.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's always, I don't think it's ever like, hey, let's just put the brakes on, or let's just put it in cruise control. Because even when I was there, there would be middle season games when people weren't showing up to games.
Yeah
they would be, days. People, we look back and remember all the full games.
Yeah.
We remember all the times that there was just massive amounts of fans. Mm-hmm. But people need to remember also, there were games in the middle of the season kind of when a lot of people didn't show up. I mean, it was still a lot more. So
we kind of glorify it a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
People make it seem like we were sold out every game, every season for years on end. I mean maybe
sold
we
out
were.
We sold out a lot. But it wasn't.
But I remember the standing room only games against BYU, Nevada, where it's like literally people standing upstairs.
Yeah, camping out early for
camping
them,
out for days.
And it's those games that, when you have, 10, 15 of those in a season, not a lot of other places are going to have those.
Well, I'm in the broadcast in the middle of that Nevada game, and I look over to Lance Beckert, who's doing color, who's another great guy, by the way.
Love Lance.
Yeah. And I'm like, I just like, second half, it's back and forth. I'm like, I just don't see these guys losing this game. Like, I just don't see in this kind of environment, on this kind of stage,
when he would know all about that.
Yeah.
he would know all about that because he was former Dobo, yep. Director of Basketball Operations.
And I just like, I they can't lose this game.
Yeah.
With all the work they've done.
Yep.
And that was what was so much fun about that season last year is just,
oh my gosh,
is just that feeling of whatever game, like even in the middle of the second half, when they're playing Washington, and they, yeah, I'm yeah. thinking they're going to make a run, and they did.
They did, yeah. Yep.
And then it got away from them a little bit, but yep. It's just like every game, whether it was New Mexico with mm-hmm. an Abel Porter shot, yep. or you know Colorado State on the road, or Boise State on the road, like any of these yep. weird games that like normally in years past they would have lost. And they found ways to win. And yep. it was yep. just, I mean, it was just so incredible to be a small, small, small part of that.
Dude, I bet that was. It was, I mean, I wish it was, I don't know. I wish I could do more because it's yeah. just like, but you know what it is? I'm just going to put my butt in a seat and cheer.
Well, yeah. and you know, yeah. you know, and the other thing, like when Tim and that staff was,
yeah.
was let go, that hurt.
Yeah.
Because you get to know them, you know, as a fan. And by the way, fans have rights to do whatever they want. And I know the fans really felt like it was time for a change. But when you're with the team, and this is why I think, you know, you see a lot of play-by-play guys go into homer mode, not because they're such huge fans of the team, but they're huge fans of the people.
Yeah.
Because we travel together. We know each other. Yeah. Like, I bought, when Spencer Nelson moved up to Logan, I bought his house.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I live in, you know, I bought Spencer Nelson's old house, and that's up in Bountiful.
Really?
And so, you just, you know these guys so well. And so, you live through their successes, and you hurt with their failures.
Yeah. Yep.
And so, you know, when Tim got let go and that staff let go, it really hurt, not just because
I agree.
You think they were the right man for the job. It's just that you hurt for them individually.
Yeah.
So when Craig took over, and I'm like, you know, I hope you have I have the same kind of relationship, and it ends up just being yeah. awesome.
Yeah, it was. I was just kind of touching back with Tim. I loved him.
Oh yeah,
he is a great man. You know, and when we did the David Collette episode, people, you know, on the boards and stuff were, oh yeah, you know, Tim wasn't a great coach. Blah blah blah. I'm like, man, he struggled. But like you just said, you never want to be the guy after the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, talk about being the guy after the
exactly.
guy.
Exactly.
Right? And that's, you know, that's his biggest thing, you know. He should have left years before Stu did, gone and been a head coach somewhere and then come back, you know. Yeah. But
I mean, I think he's a brilliant X's and O's coach.
Yeah.
I really do. You know, and I know a lot of people argue that, but I think from an X's and O's standpoint, just watching him at practice,
yeah.
the guy knows his stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and for whatever reason, it didn't click at Utah State, and I think John Hartwell, obviously hindsight being 2020, made the right move.
Yeah,
right. But I think that he will also get Boise State clicking too because he's a great offensive coach, and I think Leon Rice has given him the complete reins to that offense up there, and I think Boise State's going to be another team to be worried about next year.
That's true.
Yeah, absolutely, and. You know, I was really sad when Tim was let go because I just give him the one more year. But you know, looking at what we have now, it's just like, well, things play out, and super stoked to have Coach Smith up here. And you know, I think because they were saying last night the other night when we went to this
to the Bees game
that. It was the first time ever that we've finished top 25 in football and basketball.
Yeah.
And I mean, what a special time to be part of, you know, just knowing that we've been around for, you know, catch games in both and just follow such an amazing set of teams. And, you know, and then even all the athletes up at Utah State, not even just basketball and football, there's so many good things going on. I love being an Aggie. You know, it's just been a really good time.
I had a bunch of friends that, you know, went to Utah State, and during the middle of the season, well, in the middle of the basketball season, I'm kind of projecting and I'm thinking I might have a 40 win season with football and basketball combined. Like imagine calling 40 combined wins.
Wow.
And I was like, and so when we got the NCAA tournament, they were at 39. I'm like, if they beat Washington, we'll get our 40th win. So they ended up with 39.
Oh, man.
You know, 28 wins in football or 28 wins in basketball and 11 in football. And so I'm thinking, you know, and so I'm like, I was talking to a buddy. I'm like, yeah, I didn't quite get to 40. He's like, you had 39 wins. You need to shut the up. Do you know how crazy, like, you, that those seasons are so rare. Yeah. And, and even in the middle of it, it was just so much fun to be a little, you know, and I'm losing my mind, you know, my voice is cracking. I'm sounding like Peter Brady in some of these games. Like, you know, they do the Touchdown Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I'll listen to some of those calls. I'm like, oh, it sounds like crap. Yeah, sorry, I'm listening.
You're okay. But you're okay. You're not on the radio.
Sounds like garbage, you know? And I'm like, yeah. But, you know, but that's just the emotion. I mean, there's so much emotion in those games, and you try to hone that emotion in on your broadcast.
Yeah, we have this little pad here, and I didn't have time to upload, but I wanted the sound bite. What the hell just
happened? That one Colorado State calls. Game was nuts.
Oh, well, on that note, just quickly, that game, I was with a bunch of Aggies downtown Salt Lake at my buddy's apartment. We watched that.
Yeah.
We lose the game. We're all kind of throwing our hats on the ground, and I'm texting, you know, people just frustrated. I come back into the living room. I find out we win the game. And we're all looking at each other. We didn't feel good about it, right?
Yeah,
we're
yeah.
Okay, we'll take the W. My phone rings, and it's my older brother. And he's like, what the hell just happened? And it's funny because I didn't hear the radio call. I was watching the game. So I had to explain to him, like, hey, it was illegal touching. And he's like, I shut Scotty G off when they caught it. And got into the house and was on Twitter, and it said that we won. And I was like, yeah, dude. So everyone was wondering what the hell just happened. And then wasn't it, didn't they put you, like, your voice on SVP that night?
I mean, yeah.
It was like one of his buttons.
It blew up. You know, my mom's like, hey, can you not curse on SportsCenter? That would be nice.
Hello.
like, I'm sorry, but it's it just slipped out.
And that's a fair question.
Well, and yeah, like, that's just such a natural reaction. It's just so just unadulterated, just like, oh, like, what the hell just happened?
Well, on that, with, I believe it was like the, what is it, the Tuesday when you would meet with Coach Wells after, and I listened to that whole episode of you guys interviewing him, and he knew pretty quickly that there was, in fact, a flag. You could see in the replay that he was keeping his guys on the sideline, but how, talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, so you know, I didn't see a flag because they all congregated down there, all Colorado State rushed down there. And so, you know, the official will throw his hat down. Yep,
and I saw that.
And so I didn't, but I didn't see, I saw him, and this was the first time, it was just moments before they cracked the mic, when the ref came over and he wasn't wearing a hat. That's when it dawned on me that this might be illegal touching. But I didn't see a flag, didn't see the hat, because all those players were down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I look up, and I'm watching the video, because the video is about, you know, 7 to 8 seconds behind.
Yeah.
And so, and we have a TV monitor, and I see Wonga DeMooney make a holding sign. And so I'm like, oh, was there a holding call? And so I'm looking around, I'm like, there's no flag in the middle of the field, so it couldn't have been holding. And but you see Wells over there, and Wells has that, and I love Matt, by the way. Yeah, he's one of my favorite people. Wells has that little smirk where he knows, like, something's going up. And I'm like, okay, what could it be? And so we're trying to figure out, obviously something's going on. So we're trying to figure out on the broadcast, like, is it just a celebration penalty and they'll just back the extra point up 15 yards and that's not going to do anything. So it can't be that, you know, what is going on? And then all of a sudden I see that official run to the huddle without a hat on. And then the ref cracks the mic and he's like, illegal touching. And I'm like, Is it over? Is there another play? And I'm like racking my brain while he's, and so in my mind, I'm saying, you know, he went out of bounds, it came back in, it was the first to touch it. And then I'm like, and then the ref says, game's over. And I'm like, game's over. What the hell just happened?
That sounded just like it.
So I just, you know, it didn't sound good. And anybody that's like a Radio 101 guy would be like, that was the worst damn broadcast I've ever heard. But I kind of felt like that's just what all of us were doing at that point. We're all just trying to figure out what the heck just happened.
It was awesome. It was so awesome. And I loved that night. I watched, you know, on SVP the replays, and sure enough, he just kept saying, "What the hell is happening?" I loved it. That was cool. That was cool.
Yeah, we. So I got an email from. We're on the bus heading to the airport, and I get an email from ESPN wanting the call, and I'm like, oof. So I talked to her. I call back to our producer, and I'm like,
I was going
to
ask what.
And I'm like, how did that sound? He goes, You're going to make SportsCenter. I'm like, you sure about that? He's like, yeah, it's pretty extreme. So he emails it in, and then we get on the plane, and so, you know, obviously phones aren't working.
Right. Yeah.
And then we land, and then all of a sudden my phone just like, and then Twitter's like just 10 straight messages. What the hell just happened with us?
Dude, how was that being on SportsCenter?
That was a trip. I mean, obviously, when you see yourself on SportsCenter, when you're doing your thing, and then when you hear yourself on a call on SportsCenter, you're like, okay, this is cool.
Yeah, this is cool.
Like, you try to downplay stuff, and you always try to keep it cool, and like, it's not a big deal. And you're like, that's pretty damn cool.
Yeah. No, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of my prouder moments as an Aggie, too, because you think Utah, you think, like, they're not cursing. And, you know, I was proud of that. I was like, he said exactly what we as a fan base thought. So I appreciate that.
And look, it's
a little cleaner than some of us.
We get a little loose every now and then, so it's not a big deal.
No, exactly.
Yeah, we don't have any honor code.
No, yeah.
No.
No, sir.
I would love to hear Greg Rubel drop a what the hell just happened.
Right? That could be fun. Asked to leave.
Yeah. And by the way, Greg's like the nicest guy. I know, like, we're supposed to, you know, Utah State fans hate everything about BYU, but like, Kalani Sitake's like one of my favorite dudes on the planet.
He seems like
Greg Rubel's like such a good dude. But
I love Elisa Tuyaka.
Oh, he's the best.
You can't help but love that man.
Yeah.
And his whole family. I love his family, too. Yeah. Just great people.
You probably knew him in the MMA days, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't fight him, obviously.
No, but
yeah, he was, Ogre 6, I think, was his fighting name.
I wouldn't want to mess with that dude.
No.
And Justin Enna now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
If you're not mess with that guy.
Man,
I tell you what, you see our coaching staff for football, that's a rough. I mean, those dudes will mess you up.
Yeah,
that's an intimidating looking staff.
Yeah, we were up there.
We were up there not too long ago, and just seeing those guys walk around, I was just like,
dude, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Well, what was funny is I was going to say where Coach A's office is, obviously looks over the whole field, and there was a few guys, they looked like freshmen by their faces, okay? These dudes were terrifying. They had to be, like, probably offensive linemen.
Yeah.
I don't know, but we were talking about how lately they've been doing this big push for the strength and conditioning, and these guys are all showing their 6-month improvement. Just blown away. And Coach A was joking about how awkward it is. He's like, thanks. Yeah, I've seen a picture of you with your shirt off. Appreciate it. You know, like, because he's not into the social media thing at all. But that watching them was distracting because they're down there throwing passes, and they're like, obviously not wide receivers and quarterbacks. But I was like, these are giant people that just are ripped out of their minds now. And like, it's really cool to see, but it's intimidating to walk through those halls for sure.
Well, and that's the thing, like, even in the span of last, you know, 10 years, the talent level that has increased at Utah State is just remarkable.
Yeah.
I mean, you got guys now that are just so much bigger, stronger, faster, more athletic than the kind of athlete we were able to get back in the day.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm old enough to remember the independent McDennehy years.
Those were
some rough years. And then the Brent Guy years.
Yeah.
And that probably led to the success in basketball. I mean, the fever pitch in basketball because you wanted something to be so good. And when you finally got a glimmer of something that was good and Stu got it rolling a little bit, I think people did just flock to the spectrum. Like, finally, we got something.
Yep.
Let's go.
I think it was a two-part thing, being that, you know, we needed something to cheer for. There was like, just football wasn't great, so we needed to, and then they were good.
Yeah.
And then the second thing, what the heck else are you going to do on a friggin' wintry night in Logan, Utah?
True.
Go freeze? Let's go on the spectrum. It's nice and warm in there.
Come back from snowmobiling.
Yeah.
But that's back to the good, the great part of Utah State. You have anything you want there.
Yeah.
You want to party with Wild Bill, boom, you got it. You want to go to...
And that party continues. Tailgates, we're going to be there.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
I don't know if you're going to have much time before. I know you do the pregame stuff, but we can bring you a plate,
dude, man.
We're going to be smoking some meats.
Come see us in our tailgate spot, or we can bring food up to you, whatever.
Yeah,
we are down for sure.
You know, so, yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun and just get ready to get crazy. And we want everybody to come stop by.
Well, I just think that this is the year now... You look at the year and the schedule, they may not have an 11-win season this year, but I think they're just as good as last year.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think that the chance to win 9, 10 games and be right there, like, I want, like, okay, this sounds really stupid because I'm not throwing any passes. I'm not tackling anybody. But I want this team to have another crack at Boise State.
Me too.
So bad.
Yeah.
Like with something on the line, because I went back and I watched that Boise State game a couple weeks ago.
I was there, yeah.
The opportunities were there. Like in part of my mind, I don't know if I blocked it out or something like that. I forgot how many opportunities there were to really take control of that game.
Yeah, I was right behind the team on that game, at that game, freezing. But I remember I rewatched like every game on YouTube. I'm kind of dorky that way, but I felt the same way. And I feel the same way about the season. I think Coach A, after speaking to him, and you'll, I'm sure, listen to that episode when it comes out, but he talks a lot about I brought up the schedule with him, and like, this is a great reason to be at Maverick Stadium. Like, we got a great home schedule this year with some tough teams. And it's kind of scary from a fan perspective because we're all, as fans, trying to calculate how many wins we're going to be under on eight. You know what I mean? Like, what are we going to do? Because it's very thin line at this point between 11 and eight, seven. You know what I mean? Just looking at where we have to play San Diego State, Fresno State, at those places. And Coach A addressed that and was like, "That you're right." And the reality is we're trying to prepare them to play these teams because – we can't look at – like, and he actually showed us a slide that he showed the team that he printed out that showed last year's schedule strength and how they broke it down by points scored, record, all of that, and this year's based off of last year's numbers. Substantially tougher schedule than what we faced last year, and it's kind of exciting. But
I'm going to call it now. We're going undefeated.
I love it.
Oh, man. That means you went to LSU and got a win.
Yeah.
It means you went to ACC country and got a win.
Did you see – there's some tweets about – a potential upset in October, and Utah State LSU is one that people are circling.
Oh my goodness,
guys!
Please,
I'm calling it now.
I just
undefeated.
Wouldn't it be great to have? I just want of those years where a deep NCAA tournament run or a New Year's Six. Like I think this fan base deserves one of those years.
Hey,
just one of those
we do like,
once in a lifetime kind of years.
Yep.
Yeah.
But, I agree.
But you give it to us, I'm going to want it more than once.
I know, exactly. Like, well, that was fun. Yeah. That's probably your Gary. Gary does a year like that. You're like, okay, well, do it again.
Yeah.
And do it again. And do it again. And do it again.
Yep.
It's true.
How long do you think we can keep Coach Smith here?
Ooh, I don't know.
You can't even comment on that. Okay.
Hard, right? I mean, he said he'd sign a 100-year...
Well, he said if it was guaranteed. I don't know if you listened to the whole episode.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He said, if it's guaranteed, I'll sign any contract you want.
Exactly. It's just, you know, it's such a fickle business, though, too, because you got to get yours. Like, you got to, like, you know, I don't, you know, if I'm Matt Wells, I do the same thing. Like,
oh,
if you have a chance to get $15 million in guaranteed money.
Well, and Gary leaving the first time. Like,
yeah, you got to do it.
You got to do it.
Like, I remember I used to do pre, half, and post for the Jazz. When David Locke took over the play-by-play. So I did the pre, half, and post. And Tom Nasalki, I don't know if you know him. He was the former coach of the Jazz when they moved from New Orleans to Salt Lake City. But he had this line. He goes, you're only hot once in your life, and you got to cash in when you're hot. He goes, so when those moments come, you gotta go get your money. And when, because you go back to the year before on the football team, if they go to New Mexico, there's a big game against New Mexico.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And they need to win that game to essentially make sure they get bowl eligible. They had to beat New Mexico and then I think Hawaii the next week to get bowl eligible. And I was around that team and you just felt like that pressure, like you had to win that game. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to say if they don't win that game, that coaching staff may not come back.
Yeah.
Like they may make a move at coach, a 3-9 and then another season without a bowl game. And so he goes and wins that game. They beat Hawaii. They lose to Air Force. But, you know, you go to a bowl game and then the next year is 11-2. But if he loses that New Mexico game, 11-2 the next year may not happen.
Yeah.
And so he realizes how slim the, and this is me projecting. I haven't talked to him about this. And, but he knows that it, you know, it could fall apart at any given moment. So go get your money while you can and go, that's generational money there.
Absolutely.
You got to do it.
That you have to do it.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. And, you know, it's, and I think it's just development as a coach.
Yeah.
Like it's just dumb not to.
Yeah.
And we're not going to be able to pay that kind of money, you know, like.
But, you know, it's also up to John Hartwell to make sure that you got, you know, whether it's Austin Hansen or Peterson or somebody else that's ready to go.
How long are we going to keep Hartwell? Because you bring that up and now we're talking about I mean, we've had a couple of really great administrators, both as ADs and on the presidential side with Stan Albrecht and then now Noel Cockett. And I think talking to Alan Bishop, actually, he kind of brought this up, being at Houston, that it's different being at a school like that, that they put so much on the athletics as a marketing tool, as a resource, that they come to the strength and conditioning guys. Like, what do you need to make these players successful? What do you need to recruit these guys? And we finally, I felt like, kind of turned that corner with, you know, a little bit with Scott. I thought he did a really great job on a lot of things and kind of started really turning those corners. But that makes you kind of wonder too, okay, that's the same game they're kind of playing, right? Yeah. You have these big schools and big conferences with lots of money and lots of boosters, and they aren't alum of Utah State. You know what I mean? Like, that scares me a little bit, just speaking
and
openly.
Frankly, you know, and that's, but, you know, you hope that you have a culture built where it's kind of, you know, I know it's a, you know, cliche phrase, but next man up.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Exactly. And the amount of candidates that applied for the job when Matt Wells left is far more than we've ever seen before. You got Mark Helfrich, of all people, interviewing for the job. Yeah. I mean, they, you know, there was a list of really qualified candidates because they want to win, and they want to win at a high level.
And now.
And so, you know, if Craig Smith, for whatever reason, decides to ride off and go cash to a in. Cash in, then you hope that, you know, somebody else sees the opportunity there and says, all right, let's go and let's keep it rolling.
Absolutely.
You know, and not that I ever want them to leave, but I always just wish them the best luck when they do, you know, because you can't fault a guy for an earnest career.
Not at all. Right. Not one bit.
But I mean, we want him here forever.
Yeah, let's not.
Oh my gosh,
Mizk's words. Like,
that guy could have a statue out in front of us.
Oh, for sure.
If he wants. That's what I've been saying. That, like, if he wants, you know, if
we'll
he wants
rename money, the spectrum for him.
Yeah. Well,
Smith.
The Smith spectrum.
Smith, there you go. No, I had, you know, I when I started doing sports radio in Salt Lake City, it was right during the Urban era.
Oh yeah.
Oh. Okay.
And Urban wasn't nearly as personable as Craig Smith is, or Craig Smith was, but the kind of vibe that he brings into a university and the kind of excitement, it's kind of got a very similar vibe.
Does
their
it?
Personalities are way different.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the overall just intense excitement that he's able to generate, they're very similar in that way.
Interesting. Cool.
Huh.
Because Urban's legendary for that.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Right? Like, that's what he's literally known for, is bringing in right people and motivating them in the right ways, understanding how they work.
Like, you know, Urban's now kind of like this rock star, but I remember him when you know, they went 10-2 his first year, and he's still going into restaurants and handing out tickets, you know, because they're not filling up that stadium, you know. And so, like, I remember Urban on the ground level when he wasn't, you know, St. Urban up here.
Yeah. Right.
He was still just, you know, trying to make it work. And his ability to just get a community to buy in and say, whatever you need us to do, let's roll.
I look back at that incredible. And I think, I can't believe Utah had Urban Meyer.
I know.
Yeah, you think that now. It is true. It's crazy.
It's kind of like when Utah State got Imagine Dragons to play there.
I did that. Yeah, it was before they signed with Sony.
Before they were huge.
I didn't know that.
I paid them $1,500 to play that show.
You mean really?
Dead serious. And two months later, you couldn't book them for less than $75,000. That's no joke.
And you gave them $1,500.
Yeah, I used to do concert booking and stuff with a buddy of mine.
So where'd you have them play?
So the back patio, actually, outside. We had them play. You know where the fountains are that has the hands?
They were
right there on that little fountain.
That's it.
That was it. And nobody really knew them. They didn't have a record.
Were they good? I mean, was it good? Could you tell that it was going to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could tell too. I don't think they were super pumped about $1,500. but they did it, and it was awesome.
Get it while you can.
Yeah, we were lucky.
Did you have a good turnout?
Oh, yeah. The whole place, like the whole area, was full of students.
Awesome. I stood up on the balcony.
I remember that. I remember seeing you. I think I talked to you and Ty that night.
Yeah.
But where we did it was good because the LLC is right there. So if students are heading home, they're like, wait, what's going on tonight? So that worked out pretty well. And then we did like the street concerts. That was like our thing for a while.
And I miss that university.
That was a good time.
What a good place. A
good old place. If
any current Aggie that's going to school currently, just enjoy it.
Just enjoy it. Oh, I could not stress that enough.
Enjoy it.
Just that time in your life is so fleeting.
Yeah.
That you just need to enjoy every second of
exactly.
it.
Exactly. I mean, 4 years seems like a long time.
It's gone so fast. Man. 6 years. And if you feel like 10. You're not getting what you want out of it, go talk to Linda Zimmerman up in the Student Involvement Center. She'll get you set right.
She's
awesome.
Because it's the thing is, like, you're going to have such a great time. And when I was at ESPN, they could not believe that the basketball team didn't hate me. They couldn't believe that I was actually friends with them because, well, athletes aren't friends with students. You know, that's what's so cool about Utah State is, you know, you have a class with these guys and you become buddies with them.
Yeah.
You know, I just ran into Ty in the hallway and said, hey, let me make some food. we both like Bolognese food.
But, you know, it was just, there was something there. And, you know, I have a son that's going into a senior year of high school, you know, and gets good grades, could probably go to a lot of schools. I'm like, your butt's going to Utah State.
Oh, come on.
And Fair enough.
He's like, I don't know. Utah's got this. I'm like, no, you're going to Utah State. You can go graduate school wherever you want. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
Nerd out anywhere you want. But
go have fun. Because don't go to a commuter school.
Yeah.
Don't go down south for obvious reasons.
Just, unless it's like far south.
Yeah.
We'll let you go to SU, but you got to transfer here to finish.
He's got a thing. Yeah. He's got a thing for Arizona State, though. And I'm like,
oh, hey. Yeah, he likes to party, does he?
He's like, so?
Have you talked to him about the dangers of alcohol?
I need to bring him by, like,
Arizona State.
Jake, I need you to meet my friend Wild Bill.
He's going to explain to you why alcohol is good for your heart.
Alcohol saved my life, son.
So ASU is what he's thinking?
No, I think he'll end up at Utah State.
Good, man.
Yeah,
but your eyebrows were raised like you were going to go down and do some partying yourself. I'll go visit.
It's like, hey, should we go visit? I'm like, nah, you can stay home. I'll go check and see what's going on.
Yeah, it's Christmas break.
Yeah.
It's cold here.
Yeah. Well, Scotty, I mean, we're running right to the end here.
Hey, this has been a lot of fun, man. I came in wanting to know more about you guys than I'm sure you need to know about me.
You're actually like a legend. I'm the least legendary person on every episode. People yesterday, or whenever it was, the Bees game, would be coming up wanting to take pictures with Bill and whatnot. And then he'd be like, oh, this is the co-host, Kellen. And they're like, oh, you're a Kellen? And I'm like, yeah, hi. It was
that's
like,
awesome.
Yeah, so they didn't want pictures with me because it's like, nobody knows who I am, which I'm fine with. Ouch, dude. I would never say that about you. But
well, because I'm beautiful. Dirt.
All right. Well.
No, actually, the one time where I remember it was, just real quick, I was producing mornings. I was on the air down at 1280, and this was like 05, 06, around there, maybe 07. And somebody had a sign at the game, and it was all, you know, Stew for President, something like that. And it was on the video board, and I'm up, and that's when they had the media kind of up in that little suite area.
Oh, okay.
Now up top. Yeah. And so I'm looking at the video board, and I see this guy. He's got a sign. They do, and it says Stew for President, and then he flips it around, and he goes, Scotty G is a sellout. And I was like, whoa, where did that come from?
Wow.
And then I got a couple of people start, you know, buzzing me on it. I'm like, did you see that? And so finally the person calls in the radio station. He's like, yeah, I just don't. You know, you used to be all Aggie, and now you seems like you're more Utah BYU. Trust me on this one. I'm always all Aggie.
Yeah.
Like, I will talk Utah BYU because my job requires me to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's always Utah State.
Absolutely.
That is hilarious.
Oh, it was funny. And then the guy, like...
Hey, I got sellout stuff, too.
Just like a year ago, came up to... We were on Ramon. He's like, yeah, my wife. That was more my wife. But yeah, it was us. I'm like, all right, get out of here. I'm not giving you any tickets.
Dude, I got the... people called me a sellout because when I went to ESPN, it was... I didn't catch the last game of the WAC tournament, and we lost it in Reno.
I remember that, yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, Wild Bill sold out. He should have been there. I'm like, well, I went to...
Oh, my God. Like,
darn right, I went to the Worldwide Leader, you know? Yeah, seriously. How many opportunities like that are you going to get?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I missed one game. Sorry.
How many did you miss? How many of those games were you at?
While you were on your couch watching it on ESPN.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
You know, that's the interesting thing is just, you know, sometimes the feedback, you know, we always talk about that, like...
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, you get stuff where people like, you know, you're not banging the drum enough for the university. I'm like, I'm trying. Like, I will do everything I can.
Yep.
you know, but sometimes, it, you know, it's not enough, but hopefully people know that it's all Aggies.
And I think that that is an indicator that people are craving things like this podcast.
For sure.
Do you know what 100%. I mean? Because they're like, you're not doing enough. It's like, I think you're misinterpreting that I can't do everything, but like, let's get others involved. Like, how could you help?
Yeah.
Like, what do you suggest? And that's what I noticed yesterday, big time. Or was it yesterday? Anyway, whenever we were at the Bees game talking to Noelle Cockett, we talked to her about being on the podcast, and she immediately was like, yes, we also want to put you in touch with our marketing and communications and like all these people to make sure that like we can help as much as possible with promoting that. Plus like, they want the promotion for the university, obviously. Yeah. They want to be able to build this thing. And I think that that's a good thing. It's kind of unfortunate you might be taking a little bit of the brunt of it because they feel like you're not doing enough. But
well, and by the way, I'm not taking, I'm not complaining about it.
No.
It's just stop funny how
whining.
Like, complaining. But it's just, you know, you want to do so much,
you
know, and you want to help out so much. That,
and you're in like a really unique position to help in so many ways. I think that's why we kind of like put that responsibility on the media.
I just think it's always funny.
Okay. Anyway, but yeah, so I just think that, that's the kind of the funny thing that we noticed yesterday was how excited John got about it, John Hartwell, and I know, sorry, just some technical difficulties here. Happens about every other episode. Yeah, with John Hartwell was excited about being on potentially and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I think again, like we talked about off the air prior, a lot of the craving, I guess, in Aggie Nation, wanting to be able
there's
to
there's a demand.
Consume
there's a huge demand out there for stuff.
Well, and we weren't expecting the response we've gotten, and the numbers that we're kind of seeing trickle in are kind of pleasantly surprising, but I think that it's, like you said, a key indicator that there's a demand for it. And like with your podcast, I don't think we've plugged it enough on here, but you got Aggies All the Way.
Yep. All you have to do is search Aggies All the Way. You'll find it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll put like, you know, interviews, like let's say, you know, interview Gary Anderson before a game. I'll put that up on the podcast before, so you can listen to it before it actually airs on the radio station.
Okay.
We'll try to have some original content. I'm still building our stuff for Mountain West Conference Media Day. So, you know, I just,
you were down there for that, weren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll you know, whatever latest sound I have, whatever interview we do, I'll just throw up there. And
cool.
So if you want to subscribe to that, we'd love to have you. And
for sure.
We'll just keep pumping as much content through there as possible.
Yeah, and we'll definitely make sure and try to retweet and tweet.
I appreciate
that
it.
That kind of stuff. I just think the more Aggie content, the better.
You know it.
It's good content, so we're excited about it as well. I was talking to Bill when we first decided that we were going to do this, and it was something that we made a list like, hey, first of all, let's get the low hanging fruit, the people that Bill like knows on a personal level. Like, let's make a list of those. And then let's make our wish list. Like, you know, we wanted to try to get Coach Smith. Scotty G made that list. That was very important to. No, I'm serious, because it's a phenomenal thing that you're doing. And it's a unique position. You've replaced a legend in Al Lewis as far as game, you know, commentary. And I think that we appreciated hearing kind of your perspective of that as well, because a lot of people, I think, that aren't close to the situation are like, well, how does Scotty feel about Al? And how does Al feel about Scotty? Well,
we're tight.
Like, yeah.
You know, Al's, at least on my end, you know, and I know that Al, you know, desperately wants to, I'm sure, keep doing the games. And maybe down the line that happens, too. And if that's available, then I will gladly slip it to the side and let Al take it back over. So who knows what happens down the line, but Al's as good a human being as you'll ever meet.
Great guy. Great guy. Yeah.
Absolute, you know, prince of a man.
A prince.
Is that right? Is that how you say that?
Yeah.
Anyway, he's a good dude. How about that? I know.
I'm going to tweet it.
Al Lewis,
prince of a man.
Yeah.
I like it. T-shirts being made. What the hell just happened on one side?
And then Al
prince
Lewis,
of a man.
Prince of a man.
Yeah. I love it.
This has been a very fun.
I know, we could keep going. We got to have you back on.
Yeah, the off the air stuff before that may have been a better podcast, but
that's a different podcast, but a better.
You get me and Wimpy back here, we'll have some fun.
Oh, we know.
Don't put me in the mix because we will be two nuts.
Yeah, it could get crazy.
Oh man, thanks for just taking your time and chilling with us. This has been
happy to do it, and you guys do a tremendous job.
Huge. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
We're enjoying it. We love all things Aggie. We love hanging out with everybody.
Yeah.
And so it's been really fun to just have you in here and, and another Aggie fan just talk with us.
Well, yeah. it certainly is good to be here, man. Appreciate it.
Perfect. Do you mind leaving us with our tagline?
You got it. Every Aggie's a legend. What's your story?
Thanks, Scotty.
Thanks, Scotty.